Hello everybody, we are here with Michele Rizzo. Hi Michele.
Hello.
So Michele, we start every time like our interviews with some sort of like introduction. Could you introduce yourself?
Yes, so I'm Michele Rizzo. I am an Italian choreographer. I live in Amsterdam since 2007, quite a long time. And I work mainly with dance and visual arts also lately. And
what's your background, just like to give us some information?
So I actually studied architecture for only 2 years though, so back in Rome when I was 19, and then there I started then studying dance a little bit here and there in different schools and different with different teachers. And then like in 2007 I moved to Amsterdam, where I studied choreography for 4 years at the SNDO. And then I studied then I did my master in visual arts at the Sandberg Institute in the Dirty Art Department.
So to start, I would like to talk a bit about your pieces, like your creations, and the perception I've seen higher in the version that went into the theater and in the version that went to the Stedelijk. And you talk about a reality, which is the rave reality, which is somehow an escape reality. So I would like to know, like, if you find the society, what the society imposes to you or proposes to you, as a struggle and as a consequence, like you find the need to escape this reality.
Yeah, I mean, I think somehow it's interesting because, like, I think I never really talk about escapism, like, or like, you know, like wanting to escape reality, but I mostly talk maybe about some kind of conscious alienation. So because escaping to me, the word itself, for example, you know, like I feel like I visualize it a little bit like as a movement that goes from the inside towards the outside. And in some ways, I think what I'm interested in, like, it's a little bit almost the opposite. So it's almost like going from outside towards the inside. And so for sure, like, maybe to escape could be considered as well as like kind of like getting into a very introverted mode in which like you are actually really very, very connected to yourself. And I mean, in general, I always found, like, especially like club culture, like, or like the experience of being in the club, like very, very particular in that sense, because it's like it's a very collective experience, obviously, but at the same time it's a completely like intimate experience. So it's like it's really it's a moment in which like people perhaps actually almost get into some sort of meditation state somehow, you know, like it's a very, very it's a very self-conscious experience at the same time. And I found that like very, very interesting because I don't think that there is a lot of space in society for perceiving yourself in such a way, you know, like we are, I guess we are constantly into an exchange of information, like in daily life, but also, you know, digitally in the end, like we are like kind of constantly connecting. And also it's obviously like very, very important nowadays also, like the way we are perceived or the way like we portray ourselves, like on social media, but also like on, you know, like all different levels of like career and like family and like, so like in some ways I think it's I find the space of the club very precious in that sense, because it allows exactly these two ways of perceiving yourself at the same time, very collective and very intimate. And so that's what I somehow try to bring a little bit also into my works.
Yeah, and it's also, I find interesting the fact that there's no, like, there's no difference between the people, like there's no difference between the different elements that take part to like club culture, you know, like we are all the same, we are there for a reason, enjoying, no matter like class society, no matter like occupation, no matter like social media, no matter of everything, like it's a kind of fame.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting perhaps better and better somehow. I think there are also club environments which are not entirely inclusive. Some, you know, like, so it's especially when it comes to gender or like sexual orientation. Obviously, I mean, I'm not saying. I mean, obviously, the clubs which I guess we like, you know, they are like the most inclusive. But I mean, I guess like it's not something that is completely like yet. How to say, like, yeah, I don't think this happened every time.
Yeah, so like basically it's not that like you feel and or you need a desire to escape a reality, and that's why like you go to a club, you join a club, or you spend your time in a club because the reality in itself is like not giving you space to be what you want to be.
No, I mean, for sure, like, the space of the club has the capacity of, like, giving that space, or, like, be whatever you want to be and portray and perform in the way you want to perform. But, I mean, in a way, I think, like, this is something that I guess we should, or we might, like, carry on, like, also in our daily life as much as possible, you know.
Yeah, and connected a bit with this, of course, I would like to ask you about hire, and what's the difference of bringing a piece from a theater to a museum? So, like, the theater, like, is a kind of it's a specific context, as a museum is a very different specific concept. And what are the What was the experience in that sense?
I mean, it was like, it. I mean, like, it's again like a matter of directionality in some ways, I think. I think the theater as a dispositive, it has a very, very clear setup in terms of directionality also. So like the performer is on stage and is kind of, you know, whatever they're doing, like they are projecting like towards this wall of people who is like sitting in the dark, and like it's observing, or it's like reading whatever is happening. And I think that what's happening in the museum primarily, like, I guess the most striking difference is the fact that that directionalities, they are like way more fluid, and they are like not somehow not too strict also, you know. So like when we brought the work in the Sedlik Museum, like the main I'd say the main challenge was actually the one of like breaking the frontality that was actually established in the theater version, to adapt it to a place in which like we were observed by all sides. And and that is not just like a matter of like space, but it's also a matter of like it's a little bit like of more of a broader kind of modification, sort to say, like, because like there is also a different way of the, obviously there is a different spectatorship also happening, you know. So like I think in the museum, for example, I think the visitor is behaving in a completely different way also, because like the experience of the visitor is less collective, is like it's more intimate, you know. So you go to the museum, you walk around, you are in a public space, obviously, because you are dealing with other people also. But on the other hand, your experience of, you know, the encounter with the artworks is like, it's very personal. So you are like you're dealing with proximity to the works, you're dealing with like time management, you can sit as much, you can stay as much as you want, and it's way more intimate, it's way more individual. And I think like especially in this work, Hire, this aspect of being an individual within a crowd is also is like it's crucial, it's very important, no? So I think that, for example, like the museum version kind of allowed me to bring this aspect a little bit more to the surface than it happened, you know, previously in the theater version, in which like the formalism of the work was, on the other hand, a little bit like more like to the surface, you know. And in, I think in Stedelijk Museum, like we actually, yeah, we dealt a lot more with like exactly these two different ways of perceiving what oneself, you know, like in a, yeah, in a collective and in a, in, yeah, just for yourself somehow.
Yeah, there's a big parallel. Like I felt a big parallel between like the experience as me as like a person that goes inside a museum and as you said, like can isolate himself relating to an art, a piece of art, and also what actually what you're trying to communicate with the ire, you know, like and the rave culture, you know, like it's that's exactly actually what I felt. And but there's also something very interesting in this, because like somehow you bring inside the museum something that has not such a possibility to be kept alive as the things that are displayed. I mean, this is connected obviously also with the movement in history and time, and the fact that it, there's not such a possibility to have it constantly there, because it's going to, it's a very visual and it's not so easy to keep it like as it is originally. And also at the same time it evolves, it changes, not always the same. So also the question could be, how do you imagine to keep it alive, to keep it still living in 50 years, let's say?
Yeah, I mean, all these questions, they came now because the Stedelijk Museum acquired the work. Therefore, like, we started to discuss about, like, preservation, which basically means, like, how to ensure that the work will stay the same and when it will be presented in the future, and especially in the moment in which I won't be there anymore somehow. So I mean it's an open question almost, and it's like it's a long process in discovering exactly what would be, you know, the best procedure and the best strategies for it to be somehow preserved in the right way. I mean, we are thinking to work mainly with, obviously, with video, which is still, I guess, like the best way to capture time-based like materials. But it's also like, you know, like it's something that it cannot be limited to that in some ways, because of course, like Haier is not only a choreographic work in the sense that, I mean, or at least like it's not constituted only by, you know, like movement material, but it's also, it's about like entering a certain specific state. It's a way of like it's about like dealing with your own presence within, you know, within the practice of the work, like in a very specific way. It's dealing with trance state. It's dealing with also, at the end of the day, obviously also with, you know, club culture as the phenomenon that it is today, and which probably in the future will be also different, you know. So like, of course, like all these questions, like they are on the table, and like I am like definitely like, yeah, excited about like figuring out what that means, you know. Like, I mean, it's tricky because in some ways, like, I mean, obviously Haier is perceived, and it is also a work that deals with club culture, but on the other hand, like, my intent to make Haier was not to represent club culture, you know. Like, it was on the other hand to distillate some elements that I found very interesting within that context, and to make an artwork out of it, which in a way is independent also from its own context, you know? But on the other hand, Haier, it is perceived as it is often described as the clubbing piece, you know, like of in my works, and in a way, like it's tricky also to put it into that box, and in that sense, like the challenge would be also exactly that, you know, like in the future when the work will be presented again, you know, like perhaps this work will talk about the experience of clubbing back in the days when it was made. And I hope that clubbing will be also, you know, different. I hope, I mean, I'm sure it will be different anyways, yeah. You know, like it will mean different for people.
Yeah. And there's also, I think, a very strong element, which somehow I think also characterizes in itself movement, which is tradition, you know, like the fact of like passing on something that represents a cultural element, that represents by word of mouth, which, I mean, we come from Italy, so like we know also how these things were kept alive. It's some sort of tradition, and that like they are kept alive by like, not because they are like designed on a piece of paper, but because they are like explained and thought from generation to generation. Also, this is also a very nice element. And but I want to ask you, did you feel pressure in the fact of facing maybe a different kind of audience? You brought a piece from the theater, maybe you knew that like you would have had a certain kind of audience coming to watch it, and in the moment that you were invited to do it in the Satellite, did you have questions about did you know that maybe you were going to face a different kind of audience?
Yeah, I think I was actually like just excited at the thought of like being able to speak to a different audience actually. Or and what is funny somehow is that actually the work started to speak to a really broad audience, not just because like we were in a museum, but also because like the way we entered the museum was quite surprising in some ways. You know, like we thought at the beginning we would be performing only into the in one part of the museum. It's called Audisaal, and it's like it's actually inside the museum, so it's like past the ticket line, so people would pay ticket and like they would watch the show, then the performance. Then what happened is after the first four shows, like also because actually even there, like another way of dealing with spectatorship came, you know, to being, which was like people like sharing the work through social media. So like we got a lot of like views, like from like, you know, not just locally in the museum, but like from all over the place somehow. And that, you know, kind of became like an incredibly extended audience. Then like people started to come to see the show, and like at one point we realized that we were reaching capacity of the space originally in which that we thought we would perform originally in. And then with the museum we decided to bring the performance into the foyer, in which people were just welcome to enter without like having to pay a ticket. So all of a sudden the amount of people grew even more. And so on that level we had like audience, you know, like which you could define as like, I don't know, art lovers, but also like people who were just very curious about this specific performance. And then like they all like digital audience of the, you know, like of social media. So all of a sudden like we realized like we had we had reached out to like something that we were not thinking of, you know, like and that was fantastic experience.
It's like a very super very welcoming also in at the same time, like that it's open to everybody, you know, like. And why did you decide in your, like, I mean, I know you're interested in different things, but why do you think movement is important? Why do you think like dance is important?
I mean, like
In a wide range, or your choice.
As a child also.
as a child as well.
But it's true, like, I mean, I was always into, like, I was always interested somehow in, like, working with the body, and, like, it's, I mean, I think to me it meant, like, sexual liberation, actually, in some ways. I mean, I come from south of Italy, 16,000 people town, in which I think I have always experienced like a lot of difficulties, like in like, you know, like be exactly who I am, or like you know, being queer, and like, and I think that I guess like whatever was related to creativity and like being, you know, like, or wanting to be an artist and so on, like this is something that was present from the very beginning, because obviously it was a way to also exercise a sort of flight of imagination somehow, you know, like maybe there it comes, the escapism again, you know, like, but yeah, I don't know, like, I first thought I wanted to study architecture, and then as a matter of fact, the moment I moved away from my hometown, I went to Rome to study architecture, I felt like I needed to, you know, discover more my body, my sexuality, and so on. And so I think like dance was like the best way to deal with it, you know, like I was like, yeah, talking with my body, feeling gorgeous, like, you know, like, yeah, whatever, but it just like means like, you know, feeling free, you yeah know, that's it.
Do you think people like miss a bit this, you know, like general people, we are not talking about the people that work in the field of dance, but the fact of like not maybe allowing yourself to, do you think it's an instrument? I mean, for you it was, but do you think that generally instead like dance and movement are considered something that it's not really understood, or that they don't see the potentiality of it?
I don't know. I guess like people's life is getting probably less and less, you know, mobile, in the sense that it's like people probably maybe do move a little bit less and less. And I think like in some ways, I mean, it's also, I mean, it's interesting because in my own work, like I'm actually now moving less and less also, you know, like my choreographic works are becoming more and more static. I mean, I'm almost also getting into sculpture and like, so like kind of dealing with the body as a static object somehow. But I think this has to do with some kind of other fascination, which I think it has to do with like some kind of like maybe unconscious desire of like kind of resting, you know, like kind of almost give up, you know, the acceleration of like living, and like finding actually really some place to actually rest your body, you know. But eventually you could say that the relationship with the body is something that is like obviously very important to cultivate, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. What is a performer for you? And connected with that, how do you choose your performers?
What is a performer? I mean, like, you know, like when I started making work, actually it was right after, well, I mean, already during SNDO, and also like then when I started, visual arts at my master, I was like, I was trying to approach like this new world of visual arts, which I wasn't, you know, like I never received an actual proper education in like visual arts or in art history, you know, like I studied movement and dance and dance history before, but somehow like I was a little bit alien to like the practice of the visual artists, you know. And I remember approaching being a visual artist as a performance. So I was actually really pretending I was a sculptor, for example. And I remember doing some practice that I called something like prayer channeling, in which I would pretend, or I would like, kind of think that I already had the skill to sculpt, you know, like, and I would be just like embodying it somehow. And in general, I mean, this idea of like performing constantly, you know, like, and adapting to different different crowds, different different countries, or, you know, like, there is somehow this, like, I think the only way to survive such a, you know, constant displacement is to be able to embody this performance, you know, to the point that in the end, like, I think, yeah, we are constantly performing different things. We are performing all the time, you know. So I think, like, what I like in the, or what I look for in performers is actually the, you know, to be conscious about the fact that that anything is performance in that sense, you know, like, and to find some kind of, like, understanding of, like, understanding that there is no such thing as being authentic in some ways, you know, but on the other hand, like, to perform in a very authentic way, you know, it's also like, perhaps it's like what I find interesting.
Okay, perfect. And so I have one last question for you. What's next for you, for Michele, or like for Michele and his creative process, career, or what's next for you? Do you have a specific desire for yourself?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like I, you know, you just said also like movement in a way. I feel like I think I want to stay moving as much as I can, and also, like, you know, not stagnate in any expectation of what I should be doing, you know, let's say. So, like, I think, like, in general, like, all my practice is always based on, like, trying something for the first time, or, like, you know, like, as I said before, you know, like, prayer channeling, become a sculptor, or become whatever, a poet, or, like, you know, like, and I think, like, I love in artistic practice the fact that you actually sort of feel somewhere that there is something that is calling your interest, and you don't know exactly what it is, and, like, you are, like, there, but on the other hand, there is some kind of force that is kind of, you know, pushing you to try and to put yourself in discussion and, like, and try different things. And I think, like, I hope that I will stay open to that as much as possible, you know, because, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, like, the main audience of my work is actually, I mean, however banal this might sound, you know, but it is myself. And it's like, it's a way, it's like, it's a way to put myself in dialogue with myself and understanding maybe a little bit more every time, a little bit better, like, or even not better, but, you know, just like trying to get into discussion with, like, what is actually really that I care for, you know, like, or, yeah, what I want to be.
Thank you, Michele, for your time. Thank you for letting us know what you think. Good luck for everything.
Thank you so much.